Well, as Andrea said, we're now well into Lent. And Lent is solemn, it's austere. Our gospel readings throughout Lent continue to follow Jesus on his journey towards the cross and towards his death. And today our subject is the rather downbeat, gloomy perhaps, subject of suffering. So, what about you? When push comes to shove, are you a hero or are you a wimp? I'm not going to ask you to put your hands up, but I will tell you that I am definitely a wimp. But even the most heroic of us will probably agree that pain feels extremely unpleasant. And pain raises a great many questions. So here goes. Is suffering inevitable? Where did it come from? Are there different types of suffering? Can we avoid it? Should we try to avoid it? And what is our attitude to the suffering of others? Finally, is there any purpose to any of it? So let's start with, is suffering inevitable and where did it come from? It's a very big question. And the Bible tells us that it is the result of human disobedience, original sin, as it used to be called. And certainly, it is an intrinsic part of the human condition. No one escapes. How do we feel pain? I suggest in at least three ways. Physical, mental, spiritual. Physical pain, searing physical pain such as migraines or arthritis or bad back pain or childbirth and much more. Probably everybody here has, I can't imagine that anyone has not experienced some quite severe pain in their lives. Then there's mental pain. Not as obvious superficially, but equally undermining. Depression, despair, psychosis, and again, many more. Margaret Tebbit, wife of Norman, was permanently paralysed as a result of the IRA Brighton bomb. Now, all her life, Margaret Tebbit had suffered from severe bouts of depression. And in an interview, she said that the mental anguish of depression was worse than the pain and the paralysis resulting from the bomb, which just shows you how completely destroying mental pain can be. And then thirdly, there's spiritual anguish. That sense of being in a void, being cut off from God. Let's take the unfortunate figure of Job from the Bible. He suffers from all three, physical, mental, spiritual distress. All inflicted, apparently, in order to test his faithfulness to God. Job's trials include the loss of all his children, the loss of all his property, the contempt of his friends, He is afflicted with boils and worms and covered with dirt. Worst of all, God is absent. There's no sight, no sound of God. God cannot be reasoned with. He cannot be found. God seems unaccountable. Job is angry. He's desperate. But Job never loses faith. Finally, after much hardship, Job does get an answer. It's not an explanation, it is a vision. A vision of God's grandeur, of God's glorious creation. And Job feels humbled. From all this, we might argue that one purpose of suffering is as a test of faith. And in our reading from Romans, we learn that despite his great age and many disappointments, Abraham did not weaken in faith. But he gave glory to God, being fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised, even though Abraham had to wait a very long time for that to happen. What about us? What can we glean from all this that will help us to endure and even to grow in faith? Let's take a look at the gospel. Jesus tells his closest friends that the Son of Man must undergo great suffering and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days will rise again. Peter is absolutely horrified. Don't talk like that. Peter thinks Jesus' words sound defeatist, not what Peter has in mind at all. Jesus' response is harsh. Get behind me, Satan. Essentially, Peter's looking at things from a simplistic human point of view. Well, don't we all? When someone gives us some devastating news, don't we all want to say, isn't our first instinct to say, it's not true? Don't talk like that. It won't happen. But we can't always wish disaster away. So, how to respond? The poet Robert Frost wrote, "The only way out is through." And Jesus says in verse 34, if anyone wants to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. We cannot evade suffering. We must face it. And in addition, there are plenty of verses in the Bible which suggest that ordeals may be character forming. Romans 5 verse 3, Paul boasts of his sufferings. He states that suffering produces endurance. And endurance produces character. And character produces hope. And hope does not disappoint us because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. The message is clear. First, trust in the love of God's Holy Spirit. And second, a message which I think is very important, and that is, that we must support one another. Paul doesn't speak of I and me, he speaks of we and us. We must support one another. We draw strength and solace from one another. I don't know if any of you watch those TV, I'm addicted to them, those TV programs about lifeboat rescue or Coast Guard rescue or mountain rescue. They are absolutely terrifying, also exhilarating and heartwarming. The rescuers who put themselves in great danger are largely volunteers. And what becomes clear that the experience of both rescuers and rescued is life-changing and rewarding. Our relationships are paramount with one another and with God. The poet Maya Angelou said, "I may not remember what you said. I may not remember what you did. But I will remember how you made me feel." So let's finish with our hope in God's promise. It's from the book of Revelation. "See, the home of God is among mortals. He will dwell with them. They will be his peoples, and God himself will be with them. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more. For the first things have passed away." Amen.